I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about what's going on in the news right now. Yesterday was November the 5th. Remember the 5th of November, the gunpowder treason and plot. This is the anniversary. This would be traditionally Guy Fawkes Night over in England, also known as Pope's Night here in America, at least up until the time of the American Revolution, where the Pope was burned in effigy. All of that came to an end, however, after the American Revolution. But it was a long-standing tradition. It continues to be a tradition in England, where they remember Guy Fawkes Night, that Guy Fawkes tried to blow up the Houses of Parliament. And then they turned it into an annual celebration. Well, what happened was Guy Fawkes tries to blow up the Houses of Parliament. He is loading up these barrels of gunpowder beneath the Houses of Parliament. And he had dozens or hundreds of them under there. And at an appointed time, he was going to light the fuse and just blow the Houses of Parliament to smithereens. And all of this was part of an elaborate Jesuit plot to destroy the Protestant government of England under King James I, and then to ultimately usher in a new Catholic government. That was the plan. Now, the propaganda about the gunpowder plot continues into modern times. Rome has very, very clearly, I believe, tried to rewrite history and tried to sort of downplay her role in the gunpowder plot itself. It seems that they try to channel all of the blame onto Guy Fawkes, as though he was the lone conspirator somehow. Now, he was a Spanish Catholic soldier, and he was being manipulated by the Jesuit order. This is what was believed at the time. In fact, it said the play Macbeth was called a powder play. Shakespeare's Macbeth was called a powder play. There's even a book on this called Witches and Jesuits by Gary Wills. But in the play, in Shakespeare's Macbeth, for those who remember it, at the beginning you have the witches, and they are really manipulating Macbeth to ultimately kill the king and become king himself. That's the idea. And apparently this was said to be a picture of what the Jesuits had done to Guy Fawkes, manipulating him to go blow up the Houses of Parliament and kill King James I. But when the gunpowder plot happened in modern histories, the one Jesuit who was convicted and put to death was Henry Garnet. Garnet was put to death, and I've seen repeated attempts at trying to say that Garnet himself was supposedly innocent, he was not guilty of anything, and that he was wrongly condemned, etc., etc., and all this other kind of stuff. But if you go and you look at the historic records from the time, you have the testimony of Sir Edward Coke, who was the Lord Chief Justice in England, and he prosecuted the gunpowder treason. And I want to read a quote here from Coke. He said, quote, "I never yet knew a treason without a Romish priest, but in this there are very many Jesuits who are known to have dealt and passed through the whole action. Three of them are Laguiers and statesmen, as Henry Garnet, alias Wally, the superintendent of the Jesuits, Laguier here in England, Father Cresswell, Laguier Jesuit in Spain, Father Baldwin, Laguier in Flanders, as parsons at Rome, etc. So that the principal offenders are the seducing Jesuits, men that use the reverence of religion, yea, even the most sacred and blessed name of Jesus as a mantle to cover their impiety, blasphemy, treason, and rebellion, and all manner of wickedness. All right, so that was Cook's testimony back in 1605 with the gunpowder plot. So I do not believe the modern rewrites of history where they're trying to whitewash what went on back in the 17th century, now several hundred years later. And there's a reason why the English have celebrated Guy Fawkes Night for centuries. Now today they've the name, at least from what I'm finding online, they seem to be calling it now Bonfire Night. Bonfire Night. There's even a website called bonfirenight.net. And they have a section there. They talk about it. They talk about the gunpowder plot. In 1605, 13 young men planned to blow up the Houses of Parliament. Among them was Guy Fawkes, Britain's most notorious traitor. And they say here, Guy Fawkes, who was in the cellar of the Parliament with the 36 barrels of gunpowder. So it was 36 barrels, just so we know. When the authorities stormed it in the early hours of November 5th, was caught, tortured, and executed. Now, the reason Guy Fawkes is important, brethren, you see people out there with these anti-globalist movements, and many of them are wearing the Guy Fawkes mask. It's the mask that is worn by the main character in the film V for Vendetta. V for Vendetta. V's character, he's wearing the traditional Guy Fawkes mask that they've used there in England for years. And they even go over, you know, at the beginning of the film or at some point, they've got, they're saying, remember the 5th of November, the gunpowder treason and plot, etc. And they talk about Guy Fawkes and what he represented. They seem to be portraying Guy Fawkes as though he is some kind of hero for wanting to blow up the Houses of Parliament. And the only reason anybody believes that is because they don't know the real history of the gunpowder plot. Guy Fawkes represented the Jesuit order and the Counter-Reformation. Guy Fawkes represented overturning the Reformation, bringing back the Inquisition, bringing back the tyranny and the slavery of Rome. That's what Guy Fawkes represents. And now he's being portrayed because this is all part of the upside-down manipulation of the modern Jesuit Marxist movement. And it's one of the reasons why I think it's so important to understand the role of the Jesuits in the development of social justice, socialism, communism, and Marxism in general. The fact that, you know, and we talk about this in our audio CD on the Jesuits and Marxism, weapon of the Counter-Reformation, the fact that it was largely believed by Otto von Bismarck in Germany, who was a very staunch Protestant, that the Jesuit general was working with Karl Marx. Marx, of course, denied it in a newspaper interview that he did, but I go over all that information in the audio CD, but it's just the connections and the history is remarkable once you study it. But anyway, so they're portraying now Guy Fawkes through V for Vendetta. And yes, I've seen the film several times. It's very interesting and it's very captivating. There's no question about it. The main character of V is very, very, you know, he's very charismatic. He's very watchable. And the actor that they got, Hugo Weaving, I think his name is, does a great job with the voice and the whole thing. It's very well done, but it's also deceptive propaganda, very deceptive propaganda, and people are drawn into it. And so here they think that V represents this freedom fighter. We're going to have freedom. And you see in the film, when you're watching the John Hurt character, who's this angry, yelly, screamy guy who represents the government and this kind of thing and totalitarianism, he represents Protestantism. That's really what he represents symbolically in this whole scenario. Protestantism, which is, of course, full of bigotry and all this other kind of stuff, which is what they're doing right now, what they're teaching everybody in the schools. When they're speaking against colonization, oh, colonization is horrible and this kind of thing. What are they talking about? Christian colonization, Protestant Christian colonization is what they mean. That's what they mean. They don't mean Muslim colonization, even though the 50-odd Muslim countries out there are all the result of colonization. They don't mean the colonization efforts of the socialists and the communists. Where did all these Marxist countries come from? Marxist colonization methods. That's where they come from. No, they just speak out against Christian colonization, and in particular, the Protestant version of Christian colonization. That's the main enemy. That which brought about the principles of freedom and the free world. All right, I want to read this poem. I stumbled upon this years ago when I was doing the research for A Lamp in the Dark. There are a number of versions of the Gunpowder poem. Remember, remember the 5th of November, the Gunpowder Treason and Plot, etc. And then it says, I see no reason why gunpowder treason ever should be forgot. And then it goes on. All right, but here is one of them that pertains to the Jesuit order. And here's how it goes. The words are, quote, remember, remember the 5th of November, the gunpowder treason and plot. I'll tell you a reason why Jesuit treason never should be forgot. If there hadn't been given protection from heaven to the Parliament houses and throne, when the Pope to the flames had devoted King James, they had all to destruction been blown. Then ever let England her gratitude show to the power that averted that terrible blow. In thanksgiving to God, our voices we'll raise. To him be the glory, to him be the praise. And thus was remembered the 5th of November, the Jesuit treason and plot. For should popery reign, we may have it again. So let Protestants say, it shall not. Shout, boys, shout. Let the ring bells ring. Down with the Jesuits, and God save the king. Okay. So, now you can see the Protestant version of the poem is giving glory to God, because all of England, all believing England, gave glory to God. They recognized, yes, the Houses of Parliament could have been blown to smithereens. This could have been a terrible tragedy, but it was averted by the grace of God. So, but very clearly, the poem is placing the blame squarely on the Jesuit order, that they are the ones who were responsible for instigating this whole thing. This was all part of their plot to blow up the Houses of Parliament and then to usher in a Catholic form of government to take over the throne from King James, who was a professing Protestant. But what's going on in V for Vendetta, as I said before, is really incredible propaganda. Even things like, you go look up the V for Vendetta poster. One of the symbols in the film is a red rose. And I've seen this symbol over and over again being used by communists, by full-blown Marxists. And of course, it's an ancient symbol of secrecy. They use it in, you know, the Rosicrucianisms. You even find it in confessionals in Catholic churches in England today. All right. Let's go to our commercial break. We are going to talk more when we come back, right after this.
Adullam Films presents an exciting new documentary, Bridge to Babylon, part three in an award-winning series on the untold history of the Bible. Dr. Jack Moorman calls it a masterful presentation of what is the single most important issue facing Christians today, the defense of the Bible as the Word of God. Why was the Bible changed in 1881? Why have so many churches abandoned biblical inerrancy? And what direction are scholars taking the scriptures today? Learn the truth in Bridge to Babylon, the sequel to A Lamp in the Dark and Tares Among the Wheat. Bridge to Babylon is now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I've been a customer of Mountain House through one of their distributors. But now, Worldview Weekend, as of October 25th, 2016, has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. Now look, the key word here is balance. We don't put our hope in horses and chariots. We don't put our security in food and gold and silver. But it is important to be diversified and to be prepared. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. I think people ought to have a little bit put aside, as I've done since April of 2013, in case of an emergency. You get free shipping and handling, and you're supporting the general operating budget of Worldview Weekend. Just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are talking about the anniversary of the Gunpowder Plot on November the 5th, 1605. November the 5th, 1605. All right, now before we went to the break, I was talking about the symbol of a rose being used for communism. Here's what we have, at least what we're, just very quickly on the internet. Quote, the symbol of a rose and a fist is used by the Socialist International and many of its member parties, such as the French Socialist Party. Then it says the British Labour Party has used a red rose as its symbol since the late 1980s. The rose replaced the party's previous symbol, the red flag. There's a website called New Appeal to Reason. Then it says the rose, symbol of socialism. The rose is apparently a symbol of socialism. So bear this in mind. I've seen this now several times. Rose McGowan, who got a lot of attention there, I noticed this on her website when all of this information was coming out, her accusations against Harvey Weinstein and that whole situation there. But on her website at rose-mcgowan.com, she has the clenched fist of communism, which is a very well-known symbol, and it's holding a rose. But very clearly, the clenched fist of communism is part of it. Also, on the social media websites of the West Point cadet, the West Point cadet who had written under his cap the words, communism will win. That guy, if you go to his social media posts and so on, he uses a rose as his symbol there as well. Now, of course, we talked about this in our whole series, Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings. And if you watch part one, The New Atlantis, and then part two, Riddles and Stone, especially, you watch parts one and two, we talk about the symbolism of the rose. This is an ancient mystery symbol, the whole concept of sub rosa, meaning secrecy beneath the rose, that something is secret. In fact, in one of our America films, we go over to Temple Church in London and we show you the confessional there. And inside the confessional, there's like an arch in the confessional and you have all of these roses that are embedded inside the confessional, which is symbolic that whatever is communicated in the confessional will be secret. And see, I think they have adopted this symbol of the rose. I'm just not buying that it's just a coincidence or somehow or other. No, it's not a coincidence. This is an ancient symbol of secret societies, and secret societies have promoted communism for well over 100 years. That is what's going on. And all these secret groups, they're all operating with each other. Go and listen to John F. Kennedy's Secret Society speech, if you haven't heard it. I've played it on the program before. You listen to Kennedy's Secret Society speech, he's really talking about communism and how communism, Marxism, is being spread through secret groups. It's where he says that we've always seen secret societies as being repugnant and so on. Anyway, V for Vendetta, just to follow up with V for Vendetta and the gunpowder plot, and now turning Guy Fawkes into a heroic figure who's going to fight against tyranny and supposedly for freedom. And if you remember the film, at one point, there's that whole story there about the two lesbian women who were having a relationship and this kind of thing until, of course, the evil tyrannical government came and then they were thrown into, you know, extreme torturous conditions. And then supposedly she left her letter there and all this other kind of stuff. And anyway, they give you the impression that lesbianism is somehow or other some noble thing and that only tyrants and oppressors would oppose it. That's the idea. But it all represents the deceptive ideology of the Jesuits and their Marxist movement. And as George Orwell warned, about the ministry of misinformation, that war is peace, freedom is slavery, and ignorance is strength. And that's what this is about. This is about convincing you that tyranny really represents freedom. Treachery is loyalty. That the villains of the past need to become the heroes of the future. And that's what's deceiving so many of our young people out there right now, because they think that the path to real freedom and liberty is through socialism, through communism. And they're not coming to this conclusion on their own, brethren. They're not coming to this conclusion because they've actually done in-depth study into world history or anything like that. That is not what's happening. What's happening is they are being indoctrinated and brainwashed, literally brainwashed, in our schools, colleges, and universities to think this way. They've been given a false version of history. They are being lied to, a very calculated lying. I mean, I personally believe somebody, whether it's President Trump or somebody else, needs to go in there and they need to take action against the dishonesty that is communicated in our history books, because it can overthrow, it can destroy a country. It can destroy a country. Lies can destroy a country. Think about it. If you've got a false witness speaking lies, remember, among the things that God hates is a false witness speaking lies. If you've got a false witness in a court of law who's accusing an innocent man of a crime that he did not commit, and that testimony is believed, yes, that false witness can destroy a person's life. Can destroy a person's life. Right now, you've got the lives of young women that are being destroyed over in the UK because they're being lied to about Islam. And then these young women go and they get involved with the Muslim men wanting to, or the immigrants in particular, the migrants, and they stand there at the train station. They hold up signs that say migrants welcome. And a number of these girls have already been taken. They've been beaten, raped, and murdered. There's these terrible stories out there. But why are these things happening? They're happening because these young people are being lied to with propaganda, and they're being drawn into destruction. And of course, I think it's all a very powerful symbol for the spiritual deception that's going on, because as the scripture tells us, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against spiritual wickedness that's going on. And of course, the worst spiritual wickedness is happening against the gospel. And people are being lied to. They're being deceived into believing this ecumenical message about how all religions, all beliefs somehow or other are one and the same, and that it doesn't really matter what you believe as long as you're quote-unquote a good person, then you'll probably end up going to heaven. That's the worst lie. That is the greatest deception that's being taught right now. And it's the number one lie that we've got to fight against with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and make it very clear that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. That's the most important part. But think about it. Think about what's happening to people because they're believing these lies. They're being drawn into destruction. I believe this is a manifestation, a material manifestation of what's happening at a spiritual level. And the situation is so bad. I mean, here's a story. I was going to talk about this, but we're running out of time. But Jihad Watch has a story about a Muslim lawyer. The headline says, Muslim lawyer says it is a national duty to rape girls who wear revealing clothes. A national duty to rape girls who wear revealing clothes. It's unbelievable what's going on out there. But here our Western media will spin doctor all of this, the mainstream will spin doctor all of this and try to whitewash Islam and give people a false impression of what it is and what the Muslim world really believes. One of many deceptions being taught in modern times. But as we remember the gunpowder plot, brethren, let's remember that despite all these machinations of the enemy, the Lord says that if we put our faith and trust in Him, He will deliver us. One way or the other, sooner or later, He will deliver us from the hands of all our enemies. Praise the Lord. All right, brethren, that's going to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.